The DUP have called for a statute of limitations in bringing prosecutions against members of the armed forces who served during the Troubles. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson has raised concerns about the focus of the PSNI's legacy branch investigations, but he also wants a statute of limitations. Let's have a listen to what he said.
And I close, Madam Deputy Speaker, by encouraging the Minister and his colleagues and their colleagues in other departments that are involved in this issue to give serious consideration to the introduction of a statute of limitations that would protect the men and women who have served our country and who deserve that protection. I recognise that no one is above the law, but when cases have been investigated, in some cases not just once, but twice previously, and when the men and women who served our country have been exonerated, only to find years later that those cases are being reopened, then I think there is something wrong. And it's having a big impact on recruitment to our armed forces. Young men and women are looking at what's happening and asking themselves, why would I join the armed forces if I face the prospect in the future that I might be prosecuted? I repeat, no one is above the law, but I really do think the government needs to act on this. They need to protect the men and women who protected us in our darkest hour.
Now, if this is a new policy by the DUP, it is significant news. Let's have a listen to the DUP's Emma Pengelly, who was asked about this on the BBC's Daily Politics programme. Here's what she said.
Well, I do think there needs to be a tailored response to this, because we do have, and Gerry Kelly mentioned there about everybody being equal under the law, but we do have special provision here, and we did have special provision for paramilitary organisations, such as the early release of prisoners. And therefore, I think when we're specifically looking at the issue of soldiers who served their country, did their duty, and now, 30 or 40 years later, there's a witch hunt of that, I do think that there should be a statute of limitations.
I just asked you about a statute of limitations. Would you back one or not?
I would back a statute of limitations in relation to soldiers, because, and in the context that there are already special provisions there for those involved in paramilitary organisations.
So that's two members of the DUP last week introducing statute of limitations. What's going on? Well, let's speak to Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, the DUP, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson. Good morning to you, Geoffrey.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Gerry Kelly from Sinn Féin with us too. Morning to you, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen.
So is this a new policy, Geoffrey?
Well, it's in response to the situation that has developed in recent times where, as you know, we have been very critical of the fact that a large proportion of the resources of the PSNI's legacy investigation branch is going towards investigating veterans, people who'd served in the armed forces. In many instances, these are cases that were previously investigated not once but twice. We're also the subject of reviews by the Historical Inquiries Team, and on each occasion, no charges were brought. And yet we have men in their 60s and 70s who are now being arrested and charged. And there isn't the same provision. As my colleague Emma Pengelly said, we have special provision in the Belfast Good Friday Agreement for paramilitary organisations that if they're convicted of offences related to the Troubles, they can be released early after 2 years, provided they're a member of a paramilitary organisation on ceasefire and supporting the peace process.
Yeah, but there's no statute of limitations for them.
No, but there is no provision for those who served in the armed forces. And we think that there needs to be a response to that. And, you know, the armed forces are not members of paramilitary organisations on ceasefire, so you can't apply the same criteria as you do to paramilitaries. And anyway, we don't believe there's any moral or legal equivalence between the two. So you've got to deal with this in a different way. And one option that we think the government should consider is to introduce a statute of limitations.
And with this statute of limitations, would you be comfortable with it applying to paramilitaries as well, former paramilitaries?
No, because
How can you have one law for one and a different one for the other?
Well, Stephen, we already do, don't we, in the Good Friday Agreement.
So you seriously think you could get cross-party support for legislation in Northern Ireland which would stop any investigations into the security forces, but former paramilitaries would still be pursued?
Well, it actually requires legislation at Westminster, not in the Northern Ireland Assembly.
But you would need people in the Northern Ireland Assembly to agree with you if you're going to go back into having people being partners in government with you, would you not? That's my point.
The whole process of dealing with legacy is stalled at the moment because Sinn Féin and the government cannot agree on issues related to national security. And therefore, we have a process that is ongoing, that we believe is on balance and unfair for the reasons I've explained. And therefore, in the absence of an agreement, we believe this issue needs to be addressed.
What's your reaction to this, Gerry Kelly?
Well, I mean, I suppose similar to everybody else's reaction. Both Emma Pengelly and Geoffrey Donaldson have repeated, and I heard him repeating again there, that they believe everyone is equal under the law, and then they make a proposal which, of course, clearly goes the opposite way. So they have the brass neck to talk in contradictions one sentence after another. So let's be clear about this. What this is about is to try and justify the impunity with which state forces operated during the conflict and the immunity that they have received up to this point. And what they're trying to do now is interfere with the law, and in my opinion, it's more to do with elections than anything else. They're trying to get away from the RHI, they're trying to get away from all of that. They deliberately went to this issue of legacy. And this is the same party, and just notice I'm saying there are disagreements between us and the British government. Of course, the British government and the DUP hide behind each other. But this is the same party who won't even release to the Lord Chief Justice, who is outside of politics, the small amount of money to deal with a number of legacy cases. Some people waiting for over 40 years. The imbalance that we've already dealt with, I think, in a number of programmes. They got their facts absolutely wrong. The first attacks were on the Director of Public Prosecutions. He released the figures from 2011 when he took over, which was 7 Republicans prosecuted, the 3 Loyalists and 3 British soldiers. He then argued about the 90 versus 10%, the PSNI, that all the resources in the PSNI were misused. The PSNI gave out the figures and showed that, in fact, only 30% of their investigations under the Legacy Investigation Unit were about state forces.
So
all of that, I mean, the contradictions are there for anybody to see, and they're coming out of the mouths of both. The other thing, just to finally say this, just on this point, see, this completely overturns the whole negotiations around legacy and shows where the DUP actually are. So we agreed architecture. There is a disagreement over the national security and the way it's been used. But he and Emma Pengelly, and they are the two who negotiate on this issue, and Geoffrey Donaldson leads it, have completely now overturned their whole negotiation around, yet again, you know, reneging on an agreement.
Well, let's let Geoffrey respond to that.
Well, first of all, Stephen, this is not about distraction. I've been meeting with the veterans now since way before there was ever even the slightest hint of an assembly election. I've been dealing with this issue now for weeks and weeks. I've met with the government on this issue. It has been raised in Parliament. I raised it in Parliament even before the election was called. So let's be clear. I'm not interested in distractions. I'm a member of Parliament. I haven't been dissolved as a result of the assembly. I have work to do, and I will continue to do that work. The idea that we, you know, keep quiet and say nothing during an assembly election about issues that really matter to the people who elect me to go to Parliament is just a nonsense. In terms of the Stormont House Agreement, we stand by the Stormont House Agreement. We are ready to implement that agreement. But the problem is now, 2 years on, it's not being implemented. And why is it not being implemented? Because Sinn Féin and the government have an issue around national security, and that has not been resolved. Now, we cannot go on with the status quo. I don't know how long it will take. And after these elections, Stephen, we're probably into a protracted period of negotiation. I don't know how long that will last.
Well, what does this do for negotiation?
Well, Stephen, what
landscape to negotiate with Sinn Féin does this present?
Well,
when you're suggesting something which you know they will not accept.
Well, and why should Sinn Féin, a party that was linked to the largest paramilitary organisation responsible for more killings than any other organisation during the Troubles, have a veto over what the British government does in relation to the British armed forces? I just don't think that stands up. This matter will be dealt with in Parliament, where incidentally Sinn Féin don't take their seats and therefore will not have a voice to raise on this issue in Parliament. Because this is not a devolved issue. Defence and matters pertaining to defence are the preserve of the UK Parliament.
Gerry Kelly, if there was, and look, you know, the other political parties will be shouting at the radio at the moment saying, look, you know, let's wait for the results of the election. But if indeed Sinn Féin and the DUP are returned as the two biggest parties in Northern Ireland, would this be a red line for you? Would you ever go back into a partnership with the DUP with them demanding a statute of limitations for British soldiers?
We said we're not going back to the status quo, but let me deal with this. And I generally don't deal with red line issues, but let me say it. And it's a lesson that Geoffrey Donaldson himself knows, because he's been in negotiations as long as I have myself. And if a party to a negotiation puts forward something which they know beforehand is an impossible ask, then they are not interested in negotiation. What they are interested in is blocking negotiation. And that's where Geoffrey Donaldson is standing here. That's where this came out of over the last couple of years.
So what does this say about the prospect of you doing business together after the election?
Well, it does not. It certainly does not help. And I'm saying that what Geoffrey Donaldson and Emma Fingali are doing are, rather than being involved in negotiations or preparing for negotiations, are putting up obstacles to negotiations.
Geoffrey,
and he knows that's what he's at.
Geoffrey, how does it add up that some members in society would have immunity from prosecution and others wouldn't? How does that add up? Why should British soldiers be special and be different from others?
Well, Stephen, let me respond by asking a question. Why are paramilitaries different from everybody in society? Why, after 1998 and the agreement, did we throw open the gates of the prison and let all of those hundreds of paramilitaries out onto the streets, when people who were convicted of other offences not related to the Troubles didn't have early release?
Yeah, but
why?
Well,
Could I give an answer to that?
I sat with Mo Mullum in Mrs. McBride's house in the New Lodge Road after two soldiers were convicted of the murder of her Shattenbach, her young teenage son. And she promised that there would be no double standards. But she, and this is the British government's choice, released the four or five soldiers who were in jail that time. One doing they were all in for life. One only got 22 months. One got 37 months, and the other two had just finished 6 years. On the basis, the British government did not want them as part of it. It was the British government's decision which did that, and you can go back and check that. Right?
Geoffrey, help me understand this. If you've already conceded that paramilitaries have been treated differently in Northern Ireland, why would you not want them to have immunity too? Why should they not have a statute of limitations? Because you know that if you were suggesting that, then this would have a far better chance of getting through.
Well, Stephen, and for the record, I voted against the agreement. One of the reasons I voted against the agreement in 1998, as did the DUP, was because of the way the special treatment was given to paramilitary prisoners. So let's be clear about that. We don't agree that there should be a statute of limitations for paramilitary prisoners. And I have to say to
Gerry
Kelly...
Why not?
Because, Stephen...
What's the difference in a soldier breaking the law and a paramilitary breaking the law?
Well, I've already explained to you earlier in this interview the reasons why we believe there need to be special arrangements made for soldiers.
Yeah, but explain to me what the difference is in your mind between a soldier who breaks the law and a paramilitary who breaks the law.
Well, let's be very clear, and I'll repeat what I said earlier. In circumstances where these cases have already been the subject of investigations, we do not believe, after a period of time has elapsed, that there should be further investigations.
But you can apply the same principle to an ageing paramilitary.
But the reason we are not, Stephen, is because there are already special provisions for paramilitaries in the agreement that do not apply across the board. And that's why I think we have to now, in the current circumstances, address this issue. And that's why we've brought up, and it's not just us, Stephen. Let's be clear. The debate that you ran at the beginning, my speech last week in the House of Commons, at the beginning of your programme, there were many other MPs who spoke in that debate from other political parties at Westminster who agree with this position, who are advocating this position. It's not just the DUP. Let me be clear about this. This is becoming a big issue at Westminster. There is a momentum gathering for this from across the political divide at Westminster. So it's not just a question of the DUP coming up with this idea. In fact, we're giving our support to it.
This is highly significant, Gerry Kelly. And, of course, because you don't take your seat in Westminster, you'll not even have a voice there. You can do nothing about this.
Well, I don't think that's true. But let me.
Well, so what can you do about it?
Well, let me be equally clear, OK? Because Jeffrey goes on and on and on about special treatment. So let's deal with special treatment. And all of the deaths that have happened during the long conflict, there is a handful of British soldiers who were brought before the courts and then released very quickly. In terms of those who are non-state actors, other combatants and other people, there's something like over 20,000 Republicans in the jail who served over 100,000 years in jail now. If you want to talk about special treatment, then let's talk about that. It was impunity that was there. What Jeffrey Donaldson is trying to do is actually deal with impunity within legislation. And a question to ask Jeffrey, by the way, because he keeps saying there's disagreement between Sinn Féin and the British government. Ask him what his opinion is, because they've already said that they are with the British government on this, and he's trying to distance himself from a debate which is holding up the setting up of these structures.
Do you want to respond to that, Jeffrey?
Well, we do support the position the government has taken on national security, but that means that we agree with what is proposed in the Stormont House Agreement. It is Sinn Féin who have the issue with that, not us. Now, in terms of, and I've listened to what Gerry Kelly has said, Stephen, and you've said about you making life difficult and making negotiations difficult. Can I just refer you back to the On the Runs and the letters that Gerry Kelly went around handing out to members of the IRA who were suspected of serious crimes? Well, what consideration was given at that time? A secret scheme that we didn't know about behind our back. What consideration was given to the DUP at that time, in terms of negotiating on the legacy issues? None whatsoever. Now, I'm not into the whataboutery. I'm not into this or that. I am into doing what is the right thing. And I believe it is right that we address this issue. I think it's wrong that we have, at the moment, an unbalanced, unfair system. I want to see the innocent victims get justice, but I also want to address this issue where soldiers are being targeted.
Of course, Jeffrey Donaldson takes the view that the UDR, of which he was a part of, and it is looked upon by many in the United States as a sectarian paramilitary organization, but he takes the position that anyone who wore a uniform is an innocent. And of course they aren't, and that's the difficulty here. Is the inability for him to admit that what was done wrong during the conflict also involved the British forces. It's as straightforward as that. Inability.
This isn't too far away, is it, Jeffrey, from what our Attorney General John Larkin said in 2013, he said that there should be an end to investigations into killings before the 1998 Good Friday Agreement. Let's just have a listen to this.
More than 15 years have passed since the Belfast Agreement. There have been very few prosecutions. As every competent criminal lawyer will tell you, the prospects of conviction diminish, perhaps exponentially, with each passing year. So we're in a position now where I think we have to take stock. It strikes me that the time has come to think about putting a line set at Good Friday 1998 with respect to prosecutions, inquests and other inquiries.
But of course he's talking about all killings, Sir Jeffrey. He wasn't differentiating. You are.
And for the reasons I've outlined, Stephen.
What does this do? What does this do? Because I know you both have to go, Gerry Kelly. What does this do seriously? Does this affect at all relations between the DUP and Sinn Féin?
Well, of course it affects the whole political situation.
How?
When we All you have to do is listen to the debate, and I know you have been listening to it. But before I go, I need to say this, because, you see, we need to bring this back to the core of this. And the core of this is victims and survivors. Some of them waiting for truth and for information, and some of them who want justice through the courts for over 45 years. And, you know, all the parties during the Stormont House Agreement and elsewhere said that it's the victims and survivors that need to be at the centre of this. What the DUP are doing is removing them from the centre of this on the basis, because we need to be very clear about this, that they want the sanction of potential perpetrators removed from the equation. That's what we're dealing with. So yet again, it's trying to make a division between victims and survivors so that they will not all get... because in the end, this is about what is fair to everybody. So victims and survivors should also be treated equally under the law.
Thank you, Jerry. And we have to go. Jeffrey, just before you go this morning, it's for the DUP to decide their policy and not for me to comment either way. But some people would have thought that the timing of this, and I know you said this before the election was called, but you're continuing to say it now, as is Emma Pengelly. Some people would have thought that maybe there was a chance of you sitting down with Sinn Féin and trying to repair the relationship. Is it fair to suggest that with this as an example, that it may be a long time before you can both work in government together?
I really don't know the answer to that question, Stephen. A lot will depend. I did say to you and others before this election, I remember doing an interview with you, and I said this: I think this is going to be a very bruising election. It's an unnecessary election, but there we are. We're in it.
What does bruising mean?
Well, people are going to put their position forward robustly, as they have done, and other parties are doing. Stephen, how does it help relations between Sinn Féin and the DUP when, for example, we have Michelle O'Neill, the new leader, demanding that Sinn Féin decide who will be the next Unionist First Minister? And what does that do to relations between our two parties? So, you know, it's already happening, Stephen, as we predicted that it would. But, you know, I spoke in the debate in the House of Commons. I didn't determine the timing of that debate. The debate was on this issue. It was called by others, not by me. I said my piece. And as I've said, Stephen, I have a job to do as a Member of Parliament, whether or not there is an Assembly election. And I will continue to do that job because that's what I've been elected to do. Yes, you're right. It is going to take time to repair the fractured relationships that have occurred over recent weeks. It's going to take time to pull things back together again.
Do you think we're going to see direct rule in the interim?
It's a possibility, Stephen, and I've said that before.
What's your gut instinct, though? What do you think is going to happen here?
We have 3 weeks from the result of the election being declared to form a new government. And if we can't form a new government within those 3 weeks, we're then either into another election, which I think is unlikely, or into a period of direct rule. My gut instinct at this stage, to resolve all of the issues that Sinn Féin have put on the table, all of the issues that we will now bring forward as well, I don't think those issues are going to be resolved in 3 weeks.
There was a senior source within Sinn Féin told me he thinks it will be at least a year, if not years, before this will be sorted. Do you concur with that?
I simply don't know, Stephen. I've known enough, and I've been around the peace process now since it began. Sometimes we've defied predictions. Sometimes we've been able to do things that weren't expected and do them more quickly than had been anticipated. Maybe when we get this election out of the way, there will be the political will to try and move things forward. What I will say to you is the DUP wants to see a stable devolved government restored to Northern Ireland. We recognise that's important for Northern Ireland. And, of course, the sooner we can do that, the better. But we're also realistic, Stephen, to know that it's going to be difficult. It is going to be challenging, and it could take some time.
OK. So, Jeffrey Donaldson, thank you very much indeed.